John's Gospel, please, in chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. That's in the New Testament. After Matthew, Mark, Luke comes John. John's Gospel, chapter number 3, and we're going to read at verse number 18. John chapter 3 and verse number 18. It's very nice to be here in O'Leary tonight for the preaching of the gospel to share with my brother Paul. John chapter 3 and verse 18. These are the words of the Lord Jesus while he is speaking to this man called Nicodemus, a very religious man. And the Savior said, "He that believeth on him," that's on the Son, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Notice that center expression. He that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. Over to chapter number 5. John chapter 5, just over a couple pages. John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Again, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I want you to notice there again that another expression, "shall not come into condemnation," shall not come into condemnation. Over a couple more chapters to chapter number 8, John's Gospel chapter 8. We won't take time to read the whole story, the whole account of this woman who was caught in the act of adultery, but she was caught sinning. There was a sexual sin that was committed, and she was caught in the very act. I always wonder and question whenever I read this story, where was the man in the whole thing? Where was the man in the story? All these men gathered around to catch this woman, and they took her into the presence of the Lord Jesus because they wanted to hear what he would say. But I want you to notice something. This woman was also waiting for what he would say. Maybe there's someone in this gospel meeting tonight, and you know you're a condemned sinner. You know you're guilty. You know in your sins you'll perish forever. And maybe you've come to this gospel meeting tonight and you're just waiting for a word from him. You're waiting for a word from Christ. That's where this woman was. Notice what the Savior says. Verse number 10. "When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her," remember now, this woman's predicament, this woman's soul is depending on what he says. "And he said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." One final reference, please, over to the book of Romans. After the gospel by John comes the book of the Acts, and after the book of the Acts comes the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we will read verse number 1 to start in this chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Drop your eyes down to verse number 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." That verse is really telling us about the work of the Lord Jesus. The reason why he came, the reason why he was sent, was to condemn sin, and he did so in the flesh, in his body, when he was on the cross for us. This word has been on my mind today. I've been thinking about it, this word, condemnation, condemned. It's a word that is frequently used in the Word of God. Maybe there are some here and you're just not quite sure what that expression means. What does the term condemn mean? Well, I suppose most of us are familiar with the law. Some measure, some way or another. Sometimes it's maybe the law in the home. Some of us know what it is to break the law in the home. Mom and dad, they have a list of rules in the home. And whenever we break one of those rules in the home, what happens? There's consequences. There's punishment. And that punishment is the condemnation. It's the judgment that is passed because of something that I did, a rule, a law that I broke. You take it to society. I'm sure many of us who drive vehicles know what it's like one time or another. Maybe while we're driving down the road and we see the maximum speed and we exceed the maximum speed in our vehicle and behind us come the RCMP or the police officers or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know what happens? The heart sinks and you pull over and sometimes your palms begin to sweat. Sometimes you're fishing in the glove box just to get your papers, your register. Why? Because you know you broke the law. You know that now you're condemned. You're judged. And the officer, of course, comes to the window and asks for the papers, and maybe a ticket is given because you broke the law. Well, in the Word of God, we have broken the law. We have broken God's moral law. God is a standard. That standard is a standard of absolute holiness. God's standard whereby we are measured is a standard of absolute perfection. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all condemned. Judgment has been passed. The verdict has been given. And that verdict is given as a result of our sin, a result of our sin. But you know, John's Gospel, chapter number 3 and verse number 18, that expression that we read together, condemned already. I want you to think for a minute of a statement of conviction. A statement of conviction, condemned already. In fact, the reason is stated quite clearly. It's because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know that this whole meeting tonight is divided into those who are condemned already and those who are not condemned. I'm looking over an audience of people tonight, and there are some, and as I preach the gospel like this, they have a smile on their face. Do you know why? Because they can look back to a moment in their experience when they trusted Christ as their Savior, when Jesus Christ became something personal to them. Like that woman who reached out and touched the hem of the Savior's garment. An invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And there are those of us in this meeting tonight, and we can go back to when we were in our sins and we were condemned, we were judged. But when we personally trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that night, that morning, that afternoon, whatever it was, we were brought from a state of condemnation into a position where there is no condemnation. That's what the Bible says. That's what we're preaching tonight in this gospel meeting. Sinners who are condemned and on the road to hell. Sinners who are on the road to eternal damnation. Condemned. They can be set free. They can have peace with God. They can know what it is to have the judgment completely removed. It's all because of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the message. He is the one that we preach. The name of the only begotten Son of God. And we will speak of Him further in a moment or two. But I want you to think in relation to this condemnation, this statement of conviction. I want you to think, first of all, of condemnation that is present. Condemnation that is present. Because the text clearly says in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus, while He was speaking to Nicodemus, He didn't want Nicodemus to go away confused. Judgment has already been passed. You know what they'll say in the religious world? Maybe you were brought up believing this. That by and by, when life is over, when our short, brief life which is like a span, like a vapor, appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. When our life is over, then when my life is over, then there will be a great scale in the sky. And in that scale in the sky, God will take my good deeds and he'll put it on one side. And God will take my bad deeds and he'll put it on the other side. And if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I'll gain entrance into heaven. Or if my bad deeds outweigh my good deeds, then I'll be banished in hell forever. You know, sometimes that is what we are taught. Sometimes in the religious world, that is what is conveyed. Could I tell you tonight? It's not found in the Bible. You don't have to wait for a coming day of judgment, a coming day of condemnation. Do you know why? You're condemned already. God has already stated what he thinks about your sin. And your sin has fallen short of his standard. And you are judged already. God knows all about your sin. God knows all about where you've been. God has known all about the thoughts that have gone through your mind, and God has a record of every sin that you've committed. And could I tell you, friend, tonight, based upon the authority of the Word of God, the condemnation is a condemnation that is present. The wrath of God abideth upon you. That's what the Word of God says. But you know, in the Word of God, there's not just a condemnation that is present. There's condemnation that is pending. Because there is coming a day when that condemnation that has already been stated and sealed, the soul that sinneth, it must die. There's coming a day when God will administer his wrath, his judgment. You know what the Bible says? In Acts chapter 17, God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Make no mistake about it, friend. You're condemned already in your sins. But there is coming a day when he will judge. And those who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have decided to remain in their sins, oh, the tragedy. Oh, the awful tragedy of sinners remaining in their sins. Was Mr. Carl Payne spent some time here in Prince Edward Island, I know. He used to tell us when we were boys, the greatest tragedy of a soul going out into eternity, to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, to experience the judgment of God forever, the greatest tragedy of it all is that it didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. There is no need for anyone in this gospel meeting tonight who has heard the gospel clearly preached from my brother Paul, clearly seen in the Word of God. There is no need for a sinner to leave in their sins under the condemnation because Christ has died. There is provision for all. And my friend, we have to tell you, we have to warn you, being faithful to God, being faithful to you, being faithful with the Word of God that is before us, we would have to tell you that while there is judgment, condemnation that is present, there is condemnation that is pending, judgment that is coming. And that judgment that is coming will be judgment that is forever. It's permanent. It's permanent. That when a sinner passes from time into eternity, there's no way back. There's no second chances. There's no opportunity awaiting those who have died in their sins. Lifetime is a time that God has given individuals to make preparation for eternity. Would you not tonight turn from your sins and trust in Christ? Could I come for a minute to a Savior and His provision? Romans chapter 8 is a lovely chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Of course, that statement begs the question, what did He do? Oh, listen, friend. What the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, God sending His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know what that verse is telling us? It is telling us of a Savior who has made provision for sinners who are condemned. because he condemned sin when he died on the cross. He judged sin in its totality and eternally and completely. Well, I think for a minute just of God sending his son. I think that's a marvelous thing. I think often my mind thinks of those words in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I wonder at times, what did God ever see in me that he would love me? Sinner who has rebelled against God? A sinner who deserves judgment? And yet God sent his own son. Did you know that? God loved you. Did you know that? God loved you so much that he gave his son. That's a tremendous thing. We who have sinned against God, and yet God sent his own son. But you know, this verse also tells us not just about God sending his son. It tells us about a son who was sinless. You see, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he didn't have sinful flesh. He wasn't like you and I. He was absolutely perfect, absolutely pure. And because of the sinlessness of Christ, he never committed a sin with his hands. He never spoke disrespectfully. He never walked to places that brought dishonor to his God. Every movement that he made, every thought that he had, every word that he spoke brought perfect delight to God. He was a sinless Savior. But could I tell you about God's Son? Not just the fact that he was sent, the fact that he was sinless. But this verse tells us that he condemned sin in the flesh. It tells us about his suffering. You see, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he suffered for us. He took the guilty sinner's place. He suffered in his stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Savior bled. Could I tell you, friend, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, listen to what the Bible says. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. You know what that means? The condemnation that you deserve was laid on him. The condemnation, the judgment that I deserved was laid on him. And when the Savior was on the cross, he condemned sin in the flesh. Sin was completely and entirely judged. And it was judged so that all mankind could be saved from their sins. I was reading quite a touching story. The devastation of it, I think it was September the 3rd, 1878. I think it was and still is the greatest inland disaster in Britain. When on the River Thames, there was a paddle boat. I think the paddle boat was called the Princess Alice. And that paddle boat, as it was going up the river, I think it was in the evening time, around 7:30 or so. The course, it diverted a bit, and there was a steamship that was coming down the river. And the Princess Alice struck that other steamship. And 600 to 700 lives were lost. Souls that perished as a result. There were many mighty efforts that were started to save some, and some were saved. But one of the remarkable stories was a man who had a paddle boat. And that man in that paddle boat, he rowed with all the strength that he had. And he began to gather those who were perishing in the water, those who were drowning, and he began to lift them into his boat until that rowboat literally began to sink. And he began to paddle away. And as he paddled away, there was just the faces of the mass of people in the river. And they said, "Oh, sir, save us. Oh, sir, save us." And the man paddling his boat, he knew he could do nothing. And he just cried, "Oh, God, if I had a bigger boat. Oh, God, if I had a bigger boat." But he didn't have a bigger boat. His heart was big enough to save them all, but his boat was only so big. Could I tell you, friend, but the mighty sacrifice of Christ. When he condemned sin in the flesh, he judged sin completely so that every boy and every girl, every man and every woman upon planet Earth could be saved from their sins. Such is the sacrifice he made. The law could ask no more. Listen, friend, when Christ died on the cross, he made provision for all. That's why tonight we can sound the blessed gospel message. Could I come for a minute to John chapter 5 and verse 24? Maybe there's someone in this meeting tonight and you're wondering, how can I be saved? How can I be delivered from the condemnation of my sin? Where is the answer? Listen to his word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This verse tells us so much about the person of Christ, his reliability, his authority, his simplicity. But one of the things I find in this verse is just the absolute certainty of his word. At those that hear it. Now, when the Savior speaks about hearing, you know what he's talking about? Taking it in. Taking it in. Just accepting who it is that speaks it. It's not accepting Paul McKenzie. It's not accepting the word of Tim Burton. You are accepting the words of Jesus Christ, God's blessed Son. Yes, the one who died on Calvary's cross, the one who shed his precious blood. But more than that, the one whom God has raised from the dead. The one who is seated at God's right hand in glory. You know what the Bible says? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You know what we find in this text of Scripture? It is a Scripture with illumination. A Scripture with illumination. To sinners who are in the darkness of their sin, God shines the light. How can I be saved? How can I be delivered? How can I be rescued from being condemned in my sins? It's all found in what he says. I just want to close just with time that has fleeted so quickly. John chapter 8, you know what it is? It's a sinner and her reception. We've already heard about a woman who had the issue of blood. That woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, she came and she touched the hem of his garment. I'm in complete agreement. No questions about it, that the hem of the garment speaks about the finished work of Christ. I appreciate that, Brother Paul. Here was a woman. My friend, you need the work of Christ. But you know what else you need? You need a word from Christ. And here was a woman who was caught in adultery. Here was a woman who had acknowledged her sin. She was full of sinfulness. And in the presence of those men that brought her to the Savior, she was not just full of sinfulness, she was full of hopelessness. What could she do? She was condemned. They had caught her in the very act, and they brought her to the person of Christ. But you know, his words were words of forgiveness. As this woman, as all those men departed, do you know what she could have done? Her accusers left. She could have went to. You know what she recognized? If I stay here with this man could give me something that those men could never give me. This man can give me words of forgiveness. And the Savior looked at that woman. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you know you're a sinner. You know you're condemned. You know you're guilty. You know what you deserve. You know what the Savior says? Neither do I condemn thee. And the sinner who takes his word is a sinner who can be saved from their sin. The sinner that lay holds on Christ and trusts in him is a sinner no longer condemned. Is a sinner who is taken from their sins and placed into Christ Jesus. And Romans chapter 8 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We trust that even tonight, as we bring this gospel meeting to a conclusion, that there would be someone here. May God give you help to trust in his blessed Son and know the reality of what it is to have no condemnation. Come to him, because the Savior said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow in thy presence, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy kindness. We appreciate the goodness of God that has afforded us this time to preach forth the message of the gospel, to present again the person of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray for those in our meeting, Father, who are not saved. We pray that even tonight they would turn from their sins and trust the Savior. Be with us, Father, as we travel homeward. Give us safety on the roads, we ask of thee, as we commend ourselves into thy gracious care. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.